Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls, and it's been a while since we've heard the Bulls beat. I hope you catch me on the big red bus. I tend to be doing that one a little bit more with Fred Pfeiffer. That's our podcast together, so if you like listening to me, make sure you check out the big red bus. I probably do that a little bit more frequently than this one, but I did have some time to throw down a podcast now, so here we go. My thoughts on the season as a whole so far, where we're at, the good and the bad. And so the Bulls are coming off a couple really tough losses, games that they had a good chance in against good quality teams. And so I think that's a positive sign overall for the Bulls, that you've seen them play well against some good teams, have a chance to get a couple wins, didn't quite pull it off either time, but you at least felt that they were, you know, in these games and having a good chance. And so let's kind of take a look at kind of the key players and how things have gone through the first nine games of the season. First, I think the most important person to talk about is Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is really showing that he's off to a very strong start, playing very well. Had a rough shooting night against Indiana, but overall, just playing outstanding basketball. And what I really like about LaVine so far this season is watching him. I don't feel like anything he's doing is beyond what I think he's capable of doing in the future. So I don't think this is like where I saw Mirotić in that hot stretch and felt like, wow, Mirotić isn't going to be able to continue with this. This is going to fall apart at some point soon. You know, Zach LaVine shooting around 37% from the three-point line, 49% from the field, over 60% true shooting percentage. Those to me feel like somewhat sustainable numbers, high level of turnovers, around a turnover assist ratio of 1-to-1. And so I feel like what he's doing right now is probably what he can do for this team going forward. And I think that's a very positive sign. Looks extremely explosive. Unless he has another injury, I don't think there's any reason to even think about the ACL anymore. Just really looks out there 100%. And I think we can still see Zach LaVine improve, you know, more, because he's still so young. People forget him. He's 23. He missed the season with an ACL, basically, and had his, you know, development side reeled. I think we're still going to see Zach LaVine get better. I don't know how much better he's going to get in offense, but I do think we'll see him make better decisions. I think we can see him cut down those turnovers a little bit, and I think we'll see the defense improve. I think I've already seen the defense improve dramatically between last season and this season. So I'm really happy with LaVine. Right now, it looks like a great match by the Chicago Bulls, and LaVine looks like to me that he will be on a value contract for this team for the next 4 years, barring any injuries, and assuming that he can keep up this general level of play. But I feel pretty comfortable that he is capable of doing so. Definitely seems like a worker, definitely putting the work. And so if you are a Bulls optimist, I think that's really the best thing that you could have hoped for this season, given where we are right now, is that Zach LaVine would come in here and play outstanding basketball and be a really good contributor to this team. And so I think we've seen that, and we can be happy about how that has gone. So outside of LaVine, what other things have we seen this season? A lot of injuries, obviously. Chris Dunn, you know, is out. Lauri Markkanen, out. Denzel Valentine, out. Bobby Portis, out. So we've seen a lot of that. Bobby Portis, I think, interestingly, did not really continue. I thought he had a really strong preseason. Didn't really bring that into the regular season. You know, was unable to score. And when Bobby's not scoring, he's not doing a whole lot for you, because he's not a great defender, not contributing in a lot of other facets of the game. And so I think, you know, he was off to a rough start. And I think getting a look at some of these deep guys on the bench, you know, they're kind of, I've actually liked what I've seen out of Felicio a little bit. It's not been great by any stretch, but he's been kind of solid. I mean, I think honestly, he's probably been better than Portis this season, you know, for whatever that's worth. Maybe not a whole lot, but I think he's nice, getting some run. I'm glad that they've decided to bench Robin Lopez. I feel a little bad for Robin at this point in his career, but he really seemed to fall off a cliff. I don't know if it's just he's not into it or mentally engaged right now, because he was told by Bulls management, look, we're going to go another direction. But even with Portis and Markkanen out, we aren't going to Lopez, which really shows how the Bulls intend to run the rotation this season. You know, they're really looking to develop the young guys. And I don't know if management has stepped in or if this was Fred's decision, But clearly, they're looking to give guys burn. They're giving Felicio burn over Lopez, which to me, there's no way Felicio is a better player than Lopez. So to me, it means that they're just saying, we're going to go with the youth movement, you know, full on. And so I think that's a good decision. I think going into this year, a lot of different people were arguing how good the Bulls can be. Would they have any chance at making the playoffs? And I said, I think they have a chance at it. And everyone kind of agreed, well, should we tank or should we go for the playoffs? And we all agree that you should just play the young guys and whatever happens, happens. And that seems to be what the Bulls are doing. So I'm happy with that directional choice, be it by Fred or whether Fred was pushed by management into going in this direction. I think that was a good choice. Next, let's talk a little bit about Wendell Carter Jr. So Wendell Carter, I thought he was off to a pretty slow start in preseason. I thought he was off to a very slow start in the regular season. But the last three games, Wendell Carter has really started to come alive. He started contributing in other areas. His shooting efficiency right now is still very poor, 44% from the field, but he's taking mostly close shots, 33% from the three-point line. I think we've seen that tick up a little bit. He's taken those threes, and I think that's something that he'll develop and become good at and will be, you know, a viable weapon for the Chicago Bulls. Watching Wendell Carter, what makes me feel, I guess, good and bad is right now there seems to be a lot of hesitation in his game. He's not moving naturally. He doesn't look very fluid out there. You know, he looks like he's slow at making decisions. And so if that's something where he's just a rookie and the game is going to slow down for him as time goes on, then I think Wendell Carter is going to be a beast in not too long because he makes good decisions with the basketball. I really like his passing off the post. You saw, you know, a couple really nice passes against Indiana and against Denver. You know, he's really doing a nice job of finding guys and being a facilitator in the low post and moving the ball in and out. I think he's got maybe like the third highest assist rate on the team if you want like assists per minute. And so he's a guy who can definitely contribute in ways other than just having the ball down the block. And I think that's so big when you compare him to someone like Bobby Portis. Like, this is what you're going to get out of Carter. You're not going to get, you know, offense and scoring. You're going to get some contribution as a passer. You're going to get contribution as a defender. And I think Wendell Carter, his defense is sometimes it's good, sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's a little so-so. But I think overall you see what's the making of an extremely good defender in Wendell Carter Jr. I think he's been a guy who was off to a little slow start, but we started seeing to come together. And I predict that things are going to get better for Carter as the season goes on, as things slow down. Because you see all the skills there. You just see he's a little bit slow and a little bit hesitant in putting them together. And when he just gets a little more aggressive, I think that things are really going to come together. Now, the downside to this is maybe he'll just never get that little bit more aggressive and things will be bad. But I think if he manages to figure that out, get a little more aggressive, get a little better reputation with the refs too. I think he's gotten a lot of cheap fouls, been in foul trouble a lot of games. I think as soon as he gets a little bit better reputation there too and isn't getting some of those cheap calls, we're going to see a lot more. But he's blocking a really good amount of shots. I think he's just... He's a factor down there, and I think that's going to be a positive thing. So that was something that was a concern for me for like five games, that like, wow, Wendell's not playing so well. But over the last few, he's really started to turn it on and find himself and start to look more comfortable. And just seeing that kind of light switch flip, I think we're going to see it continue on. So that is a good sign. Next guy I want to spend a little time talking about is Antonio Blakeney. Now, Blakeney has been someone who you kind of wondered, like, how useful is this guy on the Bulls? And is this guy even a player? And I think going into the season, we felt like, at least I felt like, maybe short-sighted on my part, but like Antonio Blakeney is not an NBA caliber player. And so far what he's done, and this is maybe the difference between Blakeney and Levine in this case, is Blakeney shooting 55% from the field, nearly 60% from three right now at 59%, scoring a whole lot of points per minute, just a real microwave option off the bench. And so the question is Blakeney this good of a shooter? And so when we talk about 59% from three and, you know, really a crazy six attempts per 36 minutes, I mean, like a whole lot of attempts. You know, it's not like he's just going in there and being shy about putting the ball up. You know, this guy is really launching. It's three a game. But when I look at that, I think Blakeney is not going to be able to maintain this level of shooting going forward. And so the question really is, where does he settle down at with his shooting? Does he settle down at 38%? Does he settle down at 48%? Does he settle down at 40%? And I think that'll determine like really how useful he is, because if he's not shooting, he's not giving you much. He's not giving you much on passing. He's not giving you much on defense. He's not giving you much on the boards. He's not really contributing in any area of the box score other than scoring points at a really efficient clip. Now, it's great to have a guy like that to come off your bench who can do that for you and who can just put some buckets in and carry your offense for a few minutes while some of your star players are on the bench. So I think that's very valuable. If Blakeney can continue to do this, I think he'll find a very nice niche in the league as a guy who can come in maybe as a sixth man or maybe even just as an eighth man who's going to just be a really greedy guy in offense for short stretches or can space the floor. So I think Blakeney has played well enough to kind of find a niche and maybe earn a decent contract with someone next year, be it the Bulls or another team. I don't think he's going to develop into a guy that is a meaningful contributing piece to a title team. He can be a guy who contributes meaningfully, but he's not going to be one of the core guys, you know, that gets you there. He's going to be one of the guys, you know, sixth, seventh most important guy on a good team, maybe eighth most important guy in a good team, a guy who just has one very important, specific, and niche skill that can come in. But he's a guy the way he's playing right now, you could see him as one of those guys who fit into the Warriors and could just do really well in that situation where they create all this space and he can get looks and things like that. So his role in this current NBA is something that will be pretty valuable going forward if he can continue to shoot at somewhere above this 40% clip. If he starts dipping into the 30s, and I mean from three, if he starts dipping into the 30s, all of a sudden it's going to start being dicey because he does add very little outside of that area. So let's talk about the point guard rotation. Chris Dunn is out. And so when we start talking about how the Bulls could be if they didn't have all these injuries, I really just want to kind of say this about the Bulls' backup point guards. You know, right now, to me, Cameron Payne, not great. Archie Diacono, not great. But I don't think these guys are playing so much worse than what Chris Dunn would do if he were out there. You know, Archie Diacono, true shooting percentage, is just a crazy 68%. He's over 70%. He's just lighting it up from three, really making efficient shots, making good decisions, playing good positional defense, though he certainly lacks the athleticism to be an impact defender, but he's not hurting you on defense despite that. I think he's been pretty solid. The one thing you'd say about Archie is you want to see him get a few more shots up, especially sometimes he passes on that three, you know, even though he's got a decent look and he's one of the Bulls' most efficient scorers right now and is shooting really well from the three-point line at 48% right now. So he's someone who needs to know when I have an open shot, I take the shot. But what you got to love about him, per 36, 7.9 assists, 1.1 turnovers, really makes the smart play almost every time. Now, if this guy could just get his shots up and make a few more shots, I think he'd be, you know, maybe even potentially a starting caliber point guard. But right now, this is a guy I also felt didn't belong in the NBA. And so far to date, he has played absolutely like a backup caliber point guard who you'd be happy to have. Runs the offense extremely well, makes very smart decisions, very rarely makes mistakes, shoots extremely efficiently, doesn't try to do more than he can do. You know, plays good positional defense, if not impact defense. These are all the things that you would say, this guy has limitations, but he plays within them and gives you everything he can without trying to do so much. Cameron Payne, then, is kind of like the opposite of that. You know, much more turnovers, fewer assists, a little more aggressive with the ball. The one thing you got to like about Payne is he has actually shot the ball pretty well from three so far this year, all right, 40%. I don't know that that's sustainable for Cameron Payne, but he's shot a fair amount of attempts. And so if he can maintain that, that's also pretty good. A little bit more push and thrust can create shots, but he's not finishing very well. A little bit more error prone. I've actually seen a little bit less defense from Payne this year. He can be more of an impact defender than Diacono, but he tends to make more mistakes and is not as strong a positional defender. But I think Payne has actually pretty much played like a backup caliber point guard as well. And, you know, Chris Dunn, I think so far from what I've seen from him this year, he has not made the same steps up that Zach LaVine has. He has not, you know, made the same step forward. I'm not as confident in Dunn. Now, it sucks we've only got one real game to go off of. He played poorly in that game. But we'll see what happens with Dunn when he comes back. But I think there's a pretty good chance the Bulls are going to be looking for a point guard in the future, and we'll have to see how that whole conversation, you know, ends up in the offseason. But I think point guard will be a need for this team going forward. To me, they've got three guys who are probably all backup point guards. Now, it's a little early to say that on Dunn. Hopefully he gets better, but you know, my sights are a little bit lower after watching him through preseason, the game, and everything else. Like, I just don't think, you know, all that much of Chris Dunn, you know, right at this point in time. So we'll have to hope that he can continue to improve and see where things go. Last guy I want to touch on just a little bit, and then we'll get you out of here. Chandler Hutchison is not off to, like, the best start so far. But I kind of like what I see out of him. You know, his overall numbers are not impressive in any way, shape, or form. You know, overall, he is getting just a few points a game. Field goal percentage isn't high. 3-point percentage, very low. But I like the overall hustle that he's giving out there. And I think that there's a chance he's going to be a little bit better player as time goes on. You know, when I look at his total points per minutes and rebounds per minutes and all these other things, you know, I think he's a guy who can contribute in different ways. He can rebound the ball. I've seen him play some pretty good defense. He's another guy kind of like Carter who looks a little hesitant out there to me. Needs to find his niche. Needs to get his confidence on his three-point shot. Definitely needs to improve that three-point percentage. But I think he can, and I think over time, this is a guy that can get up to that 38% three-point mark. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see a guy who's pretty versatile out there, has got some pretty decent athleticism and some very good length, and can really be a guy who fits in well into this modern NBA, who can play the three but can guard the four, could maybe play the four in a small ball lineup and still give you a lot of athleticism and thrust. And so I think he's a guy that fits well, but he's going to need some time to develop. You know, a little bit concerning as a little bit of an older rookie at 22, but I'm not as disappointed in him as the numbers would suggest that you should be, I guess, if I want to state it that way. I think he's a guy who's shown me more potential than his numbers show when watching him on the floor. And oh, I forgot about Jabari Parker. Parker, to me, this guy's not going to be here next year. I'm just going to put it that way. At times, he can score the ball. This guy's the king of garbage baskets, though. I just don't like anything I see from him. I don't like anything I see on defense. I don't like watching him with the ball in his hands. He can kind of do a lot of different things out there, but unless he gets a lot better, I do not think this is a guy you're gonna keep around. Good luck to Jabari in his next stop. Now, hopefully, you know, he improves, but it may be because he's on this short-term contract, I'm just not mentally committed to him. Like, I'm hopeful for Hutchison to improve. Yeah, I'm hopeful for Carter to improve, and I see a lot of signs. Maybe with Parker, there's also signs, but because he's not here long-term, I tend to look more at the negative than the positive. But I think the negatives, to me, the behaviors and the traits he has are really ingrained into the way he plays. Like, the way he plays basketball, to me, is not conducive to being a valuable player on this team going forward. It's not to say he's not contributing. He's able to score. He's able to get the Bulls some easy baskets. He makes some tricky plays sometimes. You know, he's hit some good shots. He can provide a little bit of threat. He can do a little bit of everything. You know, the guy definitely has talent, but it just doesn't seem to me to feel like a team player. Like, everything looks disjointed to me when Jabari Parker is on the floor and when he has the ball. So not so excited about that. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should give Justin Holiday a shout-out. Nice shooting to start the year. Over 40% from three. Has had a couple games where his shooting has helped keep the Bulls in it. I think he's been a decent to solid guy. And he kind of, to me, feels a lot like Antonio Blakeney, where he's just there to shoot threes. And if he's not making threes, he's not adding anything for you. But he's made a whole lot of threes this year. And so we can feel a little bit good about that. So that'll wrap it up. That's kind of where I see the Bulls through about nine games this season. We're about, 10% of the way through. That's kind of our early status report. And maybe the one question you'd have on your mind right now, at 2-7, the Bulls are tied for fourth to last in the NBA. Are we already in tank territory? And I think the answer to that, to me, is we are not in lose games on purpose territory. We are still in let the young guys play territory. But I think the Bulls are not going to make the playoffs. The injuries have been too much. It's going to be too hard for them to really get wins until they get some of these guys back playing again. Then after they get them back, you're going to play poorly for a little bit just because you're reintegrating everyone into the lineup and people need to, you know, find their rotational values and all this other stuff. So you're probably talking about 25 games, 30 games where you're going to have like this 20%, 25% win record. And so you're going to be sitting there at something, you know, like 7 and 21 or something by the time you kind of find your groove again. And then if you go 500 the rest of the year and you end up winning, you know, there's around 52 games left. So say you win 26 of those 52 games and you've got 7 wins up to that point, you know, you're going to be sitting around 33 wins. So even if like they are a 500 team and they play that way once everyone's healthy, you know, you did too much damage with these injuries up front. It's going to be too hard to overcome that and make the playoffs. Unless this team is really not a 500 team, but is an outstanding team and is a team that can go and win like 60% of its games after it gets everyone healthy. So the odds are the Bulls are going to make, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. And in that sense, I don't know that I'm on the tank bandwagon, but I think it won't be that long before we start looking at the 2019 draft. And if you are a pessimist, I won't blame you if you start looking now. That said, I do think this team, once Lowry gets back and has one more scorer and has some more legit size and a guy who can shoot threes and, you know, it was playing really well as all the rumors up in the preseason was just destroying stuff. I think if he comes in and plays well and Carter, you know, gets his confidence going and plays well and LaVine continues to play well, this team is going to not you're not going to be able to tank with this team unless there's further injuries. This is a team that's going to have a lot of weapons and is going to put up some good ball. So I still think this team is one that's going to shoot into the low 30s for wins at this point, even after getting off to a really, really slow start. So we'll see how things go from here. And that'll do it for this edition of the Bulls Beat. Again, you'll probably hear me more frequently on the Big Red Bus, so you can check things out there. But I will try to keep this one going as well. And we'll talk to you guys soon.